Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We are, as you probably know, in the season of Lent, and last week we did a show about repentance based on the book of Jonah. And if you recall, it was about Jonah preaching repentance in the great city of Nineveh, which was a Gentile city. But God had given him a message to preach and said that Nineveh had 40 days to repent or else it would be destroyed. And the Ninevites repented. And we ended up the show, closed out the show, I should say, by the talking about the idea that this stranger went to Nineveh to proclaim God's message about repentance, someone who was not of their own people, certainly not of their own religion. They were, of course, a huge Gentile pagan city, but they listened to a prophet who they didn't know, from a place they didn't know, from a faith that they didn't know, and they believed the message and they repented, and the city was spared. And we contrasted that with Israel, where many, many prophets were sent, many who were of their own people, who were of their own faith, their own culture, their own background, and they did not repent. They did not repent of what they had been doing. They did not repent of their rebellions. And as you know, the northern kingdom was destroyed. The southern kingdom was temporarily destroyed, restored, then massively destroyed for 1800 and some years, and then reestablished in 1948 to fulfill many other prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but we're not going to get into that now. Maybe we'll wait until after a few more shows, or wait till after Passover / Holy Week, Good Friday, Resurrection Day have passed. But today we're going to talk about a passage in Luke chapter 11, which is related to Jonah. And Jesus uses the story of Jonah as kind of the backdrop of this, kind of like the backbone of it, I should say. And this is, of course, about a sign, S-I-G-N, a sign. And I'll give you a second to go to Luke chapter 11 down to verse 29, so you can flip to it or click to it or however you access the scripture. And this is Jesus talking to a large crowd of people who are all Israelites. They're all Jews. They're all Hebrews, whichever term you want to use. They are his people. And if you remember, Jesus, Yeshua, is from the tribe of Judah, which in Hebrew is Yehuda. And he is from the line of David. And if you remember, when David was made king, the people said, he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, just like Adam said in the garden when he saw Eve. So David was their king. Jesus, who is the son of David, the king of Israel, the king of kings, is also bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. And so he is speaking to his own people. He is not talking to Ninevites. He's not talking to some pagan from the Decapolis or from Egypt or from Rome or Greece. He's talking to his own people. And I hope you've gotten to it now. Luke 11:29. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." I love that last verse. The men of Nineveh will rise up with this generation and condemn it. The men of Nineveh, because the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. So he's implying to them, we're going to get into this in a minute, but he's implying to them that the Ninevites listened to Jonah, and these people were not listening to him, meaning Jesus, him, capital H. And indeed, there's one greater than Jonah here. So, first of all, let's go back to the beginning. He says, this is an evil generation. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for some proof. They're looking for something to accompany these words that is going to, number one, give some proof that they're true, and number two, is produce some kind of amazement. The Greek that's used there means evil or malicious. So it's an evil, a malicious generation. They weren't standing there to hear words of conversion. They weren't standing around there listening to be led to repentance. They weren't there to hear a message from God being proclaimed like the Ninevites did. They wanted something that they could talk about later. They wanted something that they could go back to their villages or back to their wherever, back to their synagogue and tell people, hey, we heard this teacher and he did this really amazing thing when he was talking. They were looking for some excitement. They were looking for some novelty to go on. Jesus calls them an evil generation. A malicious generation, because they didn't care about conversion. They didn't care about hearing the message. The Ninevites had listened to the message. They had listened to Jonah preaching. And if you recall from the text we went through last week, they put on sackcloth and ashes. They fasted. The king put on sackcloth and ashes, fasted. He even declared that the animals should fast and repent. And I don't remember if they wore sackcloth and ashes, but even the animals were involved. So the Ninevites, including their king, took this message of Jonah extremely serious, even though they were totally disconnected from the person who brought the message. Here, these people are intimately connected with Jesus. He is one of them. He is from their people. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's a descendant of Abraham. But they're not listening to him. They want a sign. And Jesus, of course, knows this. The greatest sign, and we're going to talk about this, of course, as time goes on. The greatest sign, of course, was the resurrection. And Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That was the most convincing proof that Jesus is, in fact, who he says he is. And he did, in fact, do what he said he did. This group of people and many people around there had seen signs. They had seen some miracles. But now they're seeking another sign. And the word he uses there when he says, this evil generation seeks a sign. The Greek for the sign means not only were they, the Greek for the seeking a sign doesn't just mean they were asking for that, doesn't mean they were kind of looking around for something. It means an intense inquiry or a demand. We want to demand that you show us some proof. We demand that we have something to go on when it comes to these things that you're saying. And even though they had seen a lot of signs, and even though they were a malicious, evil generation, Jesus confronts them and says, all you're looking for is some excitement, all you're looking for is something to talk about. But because your generation is evil, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. So that's interesting. So as we know, back to the book of Jonah, Jonah is called to go to Nineveh to preach. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh to preach. He gets on a ship going in the opposite direction. I mean, we talk about metanoia, repentance, meaning we change our life and we go in an opposite direction. And this was kind of the opposite of that. Jonah went in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. And as you remember, there's a storm. Jonah's cast into the sea. The great fish swallows him up. The great fish transports him to where he's supposed to go. He goes to this great city, which took 3 days to walk across. A big city, a huge Gentile pagan city. Jonah goes there, warns them that their evil has come up to the face of God and that they will be destroyed in 40 days if they don't repent. And the whole city, the whole kingdom, including the king, even including the animals, repented. And the city was spared. We're not going to get into the fourth chapter of Jonah, but we'll do that some other time, because it turns out Jonah was not really happy with this. He wanted the city to be destroyed. But he also learns a lesson, but I can already feel myself going into a tangent, so I'm not going to do that. So what is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about Messiah himself. He himself was going to suffer. He was going to die. Then he was going to rise. He was going to suffer for sins he did not commit. Jonah suffered for sin he did commit. He died. Jonah didn't die. But he spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish. The Bible doesn't tell us it was a whale. Tells us it was a great fish. But it doesn't matter. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish. And Jesus himself says that he's going to die. He's going to rise on the third day. The other gospels tell us that he says, just like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, the Son of Man will spend 3 days in the belly of the earth, or the bowels of the earth, or the heart of the earth, depending which translation you have. And this whole thing comparing himself and the suffering he was going to do and the fact that he was going to be 3 days in a different kind of a belly and then come out was also a prophecy, a foretelling, a, I don't know what else you can call it, a metaphor, but it's pretty direct, a pretty direct look at the fact that the gospel was going to go out to the Gentiles and they were going to accept it. Just like the Gentiles in Nineveh accepted the word of Jonah when the word of Jonah went out to them. The prophets in Israel didn't listen to their own people, didn't listen to their own prophets. And you can start, you can go through, I wouldn't even know where to start, but, you know, Samuel comes to mind, and all the things, and Amos and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the minor prophets were all rejected by the people. Many of them were killed, but they were all rejected by the people. So the people, the chosen people, the people that this was meant for, because after all, we know that the gospel has to go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Jesus' own people rejected the message, just like the Israelites rejected the messages of the prophets. And just like the people in Nineveh accepted the word of Jonah and repented, and they were then not destroyed, what's going to happen is this word that Jesus is preaching, the joy of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, was going to go out to the Gentiles, who were then going to accept it, almost like the Ninevites did, and they were going to be saved. They were going to repent of how they had lived their lives, and they were going to be saved. They were going to come to salvation in the Jewish Messiah. Really quite remarkable. The people of Nineveh repented to the God of Israel that they didn't know. The Gentiles in the Roman world and in the Middle East and all of the Greco-Roman world heard the message of the Jewish Messiah, repented of how they had been living, and the church was born. Really quite amazing. So Jesus says, this is the sign for you evil generation, because you're going to be just like your fathers. You know, in Matthew 23, he's during this whole, if you've ever read Matthew 23, I don't know what to tell you, but you should definitely read it for your homework. When he is chastising the Pharisees, and he says, oh, you decorate the graves of the prophets, and you say, had we been there when our fathers killed them, we wouldn't have killed them. And he says, yes, you would have, because you're the same evil people. So this was going to be the sign for them. But they spoke against the sign. They spoke against him, just like they had spoken against the prophets. They spoke against him. Jonah went to Nineveh, and they believed him. And then he gives warnings of what's going to happen when they don't accept him. What's going to happen when they don't believe him? What's going to happen when they ignore his message, when they cast him out? And literally, although he died for everyone's sin, they became the instruments of that death. He then warns them what happens when you don't accept what he has to tell you. He talks about the Queen of the South. The Queen of the South was not an Israelite. The Queen of the South was the Queen of Sheba. She was basically from Ethiopia. She was an African queen. She was not an Israelite. She was an African woman who was a queen. And Jesus says she came to Jerusalem to see the glory of the temple and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She came to see the glory and the splendor of God's kingdom. So before she went, before she saw it, she believed it. She believed that this was going to be a glorious, beautiful place. She believed that there was wisdom there. She believed that this was going to be an awesome place. And she came from far away to experience this. She learned about the wisdom of Solomon. She heard about the God of Israel. And she came to Jerusalem. Now, if you know the story, you know Solomon had so many women. I'm sure he could not keep track of them, but there are 1,000 women mentioned. I can never remember whether it was remember whether it was 700 wives and 300 concubines or if it was the other way around, but he had hundreds, had 1,000 women. So when the Queen of Sheba came, she apparently, according to legend or tradition, had relations with Solomon, became pregnant, gave birth to a man whose name escapes me now, who considered Solomon his father. In fact, even came back to Jerusalem to visit Solomon. But he became the father of the Ethiopian Jews. And back in the 80s and early 90s, the Ethiopian Jews were all airlifted back to Israel. And these are, in fact, Jewish people. They are black Africans. They have Jewish DNA. They now, for the most part, live in Israel. But Jesus says she came to see the wisdom, to see the temple of the true God. And now there's one greater than Solomon there with them. And they're rejecting him, capital H. And of course, he's talking about himself, capital H, where there is much more wisdom. There is much more knowledge. There is much more worship. One who is greater than the temple, as he says in another text. But this generation doesn't recognize that. And so when this generation, that generation, is judged, the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, will rise up to judge and condemn them. She will condemn them for not understanding who was talking to them, what he was talking to them about, and what they should be doing as a result, as a consequence of what he was saying. She would rise up and judge them. Then he points out that the Ninevites, the men of Nineveh, will also rise up to judge that generation because they repented at the teaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is there, much greater than Jonah is there, is with them, and they are not accepting what he's saying. They're not accepting him. They're not accepting his message. And so the men of Nineveh will rise up and judge them and basically say, we accepted the message and you guys did not. So you're being condemned. The Queen of Sheba will say, I heard the message. I accepted the true message. You did not. So you're being condemned. That generation that he's talking about wasn't impressed with the message, was not impressed with him. They had Torah, they had all the writings of the prophets, they had all the writings of all of that put together as the Tanakh. They had the Son of God, the God-man, Messiah, speak with them, who fulfilled prophecies that had been written hundreds and thousands of years before, but they were not impressed. They not only rejected him, but refused to turn away from their evil, refused to repent of what they had been doing. And of course, the same thing is happening in our time. The same thing is happening in our time. We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about what our time is like. And now even the church has gotten into being more and more like the world and less proclaiming a message of salvation. I sometimes wonder if the church is even interested in salvation anymore, other than the remnant. And if you're listening, I'm sure you're part of the remnant. But our generation has gone the same way. We're not impressed. We're much more impressed with the things we have, the things that we do, the people who lead us, the wonderful methods of entertainment and comfort that we have, our prosperity that we have. We're not impressed with messages of repentance that doesn't even mean anything anymore. But those men of Nineveh and that Queen of the South may very well arise at our judgment and say, we believed, we repented, we were converted, we were saved, and you people listened, didn't believe, didn't repent, and are not being saved. So quite a bit of powerful teaching in this passage. Oh, I know the music's been playing. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you'll join us again next week at the Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have a great week.